In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. This morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about this first letter of John. He's writing to the church, as we know, and he's trying to encourage the church. Although it seems a little strange and a little awkward, and I found it to be true as I was doing my preparation. Yeah, the wonderful time of Easter, after 10 years of preaching, you see these readings, and some of them you just grab the sort of the low-hanging fruit, you know, because you got to get through it. And then at some point you go, well, I haven't really preached this before. We do a three-year cycle, so the third time in my life it's come up as a preacher. And I thought, well, I should maybe dive in a little bit, because I think I've done what many other people may be guilty of, is we hear particular scriptures and they just sort of slide right by. We go, yeah, I've heard that before. Even to the point where sometimes I start reading and I go, oh, I know that one. I've heard this before. And you just kind of move on. So I sat with this, and my wife will attest to it, for a while. I found a lot of other things to do during my normal sermon prep time, and then last night, with all my stuff laid out in front of me, she comes and she says, how's it going? Which is a sign that she knows it's not going well, or it would have been done. So I said, terrible. It's going terribly. And so that requires me to do something, right? At some point, I have to stop trying to figure it out and just admit, I don't know. So as I was looking at this portion of this letter from John to the church, a few things stuck out. And verse 16 says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. Yeah. It goes on, but we'll get there in a minute. So I just want to say, who knows that Jesus loves them? Yeah, I'm going to check everybody. Let's see. How many people know they love Jesus? See, we were 100% at 8 o'clock. We're pretty close. This is good information. Always a good place to start when you're trying to carry a message to the church to find out, am I talking to the church? Amen? So we're talking to church. Good to know. And I'm sure you're raising hands outside there. It's even easier if you're at home to raise your hand because nobody sees you do it, right? That'll come up later too, I think. I want to move ahead. Verse 18. Interesting thing that happens. Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. What an interesting thing to say. Whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Okay. And then he moves on from there. And I had to sit with that and think, what exactly are we talking about? What does this mean? To be condemned by your heart. And I thought, well, how am I going to help people understand this? And I thought to myself, well, how about this? You're just going to have to share in how my heart condemns me. And maybe it's true for some of you. If not, hopefully you'll understand what I'm saying. Now, I know we're in church and we're supposed to be having all these good, clean, pure thoughts. But I bet if you just take a moment, you can think about somebody or some group of people or some, well, we'll keep it with people, where you just know that the things that they do, and perhaps the things that they say, and the way in which they live through their, it bothers you a little. You find them maybe a little irritating. You have anybody like that? Most of the people like that in my life are related in some fashion. But I think we're all kind of there. I won't make you raise your hand if you have that person in your life. But if you don't have one, thanks be to God, and maybe it's just the people who are in the car in front of you, or the ones who don't know how to use a four-way stop. You may encounter some of those if you live here in Valrico. But, this concept that, what does that really mean? I want you to get that thought, or that person, or that topic, or whatever it is, and just, that thing that really irritates you, and I just want you to hold on to that. And then I want you to listen. You got it? We're good? Everybody's afraid to admit it. Now listen closely to the rest of 16 and forward. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Who's ready to lay their life down for that person you just thought of? Sometimes our hearts do condemn us, don't they? Our hearts will condemn us. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Sometimes, brothers and sisters, the goods that we have is good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's actual things. Sometimes it's just the love of God that we have. And sometimes we find ourselves in a position where we don't really feel like sharing it in a situation or with a particular person or a particular group of people. And it's in those moments our hearts condemn us because they're not pure. We're at a bit of a disadvantage when it comes to being like Christ because we are fully human, and we are sinful, and we are broken. Jesus was fully human and fully divine and without sin. But he knows all, and he sees all, including your heart. And this is the good news. I know it doesn't sound encouraging yet, does it? But here's the encouragement. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. So when you're feeling like you're not the one, or you're feeling like you can't do this, you're feeling like I'm just not good enough, or I'm not a good Christian, or I'm having unchristian thoughts towards another human being, he knows, and he knew you would, which is why he paid the price to reconcile you to God, because he also knew you couldn't. Amen? So this is what it means. So when our hearts are condemned, and we bring our condemned heart before God, through the loving grace of Jesus Christ and the very body and blood poured out for us, the life laid down for us, when we bring our brokenness to him, he is greater than our brokenness. If we attempt to hide our brokenness, we're just kidding ourselves, and we're leaving ourselves open to hear the wrong voice. See, when you feel condemned, and you feel like it's time for you to go moving, and deep in your heart you go, I can't do that. It's too weird. It's too uncomfortable. I don't want to raise my hand in front of everybody else, something that simple. Or I can't deal with that person. When we feel like that and it stops us, God didn't stop you. The voice you're listening to was not of God. Amen? Because that is not how he works. He knew you would be flawed, he knew you were broken, and he knew that you would need him to move through the process. And he's here for us. He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. One of the authors I was reading in my preparation said, the problem is most Christians don't know how to act. When it says we should move beyond the words, and we should move with acts and move away from word or speech, but in truth and action. He says, most people don't know how to take the action. I disagree. I think we know exactly what the action is. I think our hearts condemn us and tell us we're not good enough to take the action. You're not Christian enough. You don't know enough. You don't understand that person's situation. You aren't capable. And all the other things that our heart convicts us of and condemns us, because when we say no to doing what God's called us to, we are bringing condemnation on ourselves. And what John is telling us today, there are times when you cannot trust your heart, and you have to trust the heart of Jesus. You have to. And then you practice. You just go and do it. So my previous parish, as many of you know, we had a few AA meetings there, like 30 a week. So there was a section in the backyard where the chairs were set up in a circle, and everybody would sit out there and smoke and drink coffee because that's what we do at AA meetings. And so I'd go out there and do a little secondhand smoking once in a while because I quit that a long time ago, as you know. I've 20 solid lengths of giving up smoking and still working. So I go out there, do some secondhand smoking. I'm out there one day, and a newbie comes out. I'm out there with the old guys. And the newbie comes out, and he's frustrated because everybody who goes to the meetings is an idiot and a liar and a hypocrite. I'm like, sounds like church. And he's like, well, I don't know about that. I said, no, it is. You know what the difference is? They're trying. In their limitations, they're still going to the meetings, still trying to do their thing. Same thing with the church. We're still going to the meetings, trying to do our thing. Have we perfected it? No. Will we perfect it in this life? No. Are we called to be Christ-like in the midst of it? Yes. How? With his strength. Amen. So now with the AA group, that requires a slightly different strength because, you know, people are finding their way. So as he's just going on, and he keeps talking about these other people and how they don't understand and they don't know, everyone else around the circle does know, and they're just smiling. And the person keeps going on and on and on and on, and one of the old-timer finally looks at him and goes, you know what you need to do? He goes, what? He said, go clean the bathrooms. I don't want to clean the bathrooms. Why do I have to clean the bathroom? What, the new guy has to clean the bathroom? He goes, you need to clean the bathrooms. You need to go do something humbly for somebody else and quit thinking about you all the time. That's your problem. You're the expert in everything, and you will always be the expert in everything until you humble yourself and just go do something for another person, even if you don't know them. And the guy got up and cleaned the bathrooms. He got out of himself. He humbled himself to discover what could happen. I'd like to tell you I know how his life worked out. I really don't. Doesn't matter. Because if he's like the rest of us, like he is, he's probably had a lot of moments where he finally had to just stop and go clean the bathroom. Reality is he was probably afraid to clean the bathroom, thought he was going to do it wrong. It's easier to just bow up and pretend you're just not into it. But sometimes that's what it turns into, isn't it? We just have to recognize that we really are nothing without him. Without Christ in our life, we're really nothing. Then we can empty ourselves of ourselves. We can recognize our brokenness. We can recognize our hearts that are not pure. And then we can claim his. And then we can stand up with some strength in us. And here, verse 21, beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God. Boldness before God. And here it is backwards again. How do we get boldness before God? By showing them our weakness. By admitting our weakness before him and saying, Lord, I'm stuck and I'm broken here. I really don't know what to do. And I need you to come in and fill me in a way that allows me to move forward. Even on the days when I don't feel like it. Even on the days where it seems like more work than it should be. Somewhere in the Western church, we got this concept into our head that going to church was a self-help tool to make us feel good. And I hear that a lot. Why do you go to church? Oh, it makes me feel good. That's really almost a shame, isn't it? Father's agreeing with me, so I'm on a good track. The fact is, if everything you're doing in the church makes you feel good about you, you might be missing the point. I don't know how it works, and I've told you this before. We've all seen the little pictures, Jesus sitting on the log, the butterflies on his shoulder, the children are all precious and dancing around, and we just want to grab his hand and go tiptoeing through the field of daisies. That is not the Jesus I know. The Jesus I know comes in and says, what are you doing? Don't you know better than that? And then I run.
looks more like the garden. I'm going to run and hide so God doesn't see what I'm doing. And maybe it's my Roman Catholic upbringing, I don't know. But and then he comes to me, he goes, no, come to me. Come to me. I can see you're struggling, and I also know you don't know what to do about it. Come nearer to me, and I will help you. Don't go away from me. Come nearer to me, and I will help you. And you know how he helps us? He says, hey, I hear you're thinking a lot about yourself today. Maybe you should go clean the bathroom. Go serve somebody. I know you don't want to, and it may not even make sense for you right now, but trust me. And then when our heart condemns us, we begin to recognize God doesn't condemn. So if my heart is feeling condemned, it's clearly not of God. Amen? So I'm listening to the wrong voice. And even though it may be within you, God didn't put it there. That's the broken sinfulness. The voice that filled you up and says, you are everything when you walk with me. You will do all that I have done and more by the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells you. That's how God speaks. That's how we move. But we all struggle, don't we? And I'm saying, be encouraged. John's being encouraged, encouraging to us today, saying, he knows. He knows. But get up and move. I know you don't know how to do it, but the more you do it, the better you'll get at it. The more you let me in, the less you are in control. And you will find a way through Jesus Christ to your salvation. Sound familiar? Not easy. And everybody struggles. Some of the greats of our time struggle. And had wonderful words of wisdom for those of us who continue to struggle. One of the greats gave her whole life to live among the people in India, literally picking up the dead and the dying. And as stated in one of her letters, this the worm-infested man laying in the gutter. Not to save him, but to clean him up and to love him and to help him know that God loves him also, and give him a good death. Her name is Mother Teresa. You may have heard about her. She's not with us anymore. I expect she is with Jesus, which was her greatest desire throughout this entire life. Humble and broken and sinful and aware, therefore bold before God. And she says this to the dear co-worker of Christ, someone who has said yes. He has taken you at your word. The word of God became man, poor. Your word to God became Jesus, poor. And so this terrible emptiness you experience, God cannot fill what is full. He can fill only emptiness. If you're filled with emptiness, there is no place for God to fill you. You're full. Being filled with emptiness is actually still being filled, is what she's saying. You have to let it go. You have to trust God. You have to bring your full brokenness before him and let his light shine so that you can be transformed and he then can fill you. But you have to empty yourself of your broken emptiness, if that makes sense for you. And she goes further. She goes, in you today, and this is why it matters, in you today he wants to relive his complete submission to his Father. Allow him to do so. Does not matter what you feel, as long as he feels all right in you. Take away your eyes from yourself and rejoice that you have nothing, that you are nothing, that you can do nothing. Give Jesus a big smile. One of her favorite things to say. Give Jesus a big smile each time your nothingness frightens you. This is the poverty of Jesus. You and I must let him live in us and through us in this world. I just love it. Rejoice you have nothing, that you are nothing, that you can do nothing. Give Jesus a big smile each time your nothingness frightens you. Brothers and sisters, the church knows what to do. The problem is we let our hearts condemn us. When we listen to our broken, sinful heart and sit still, our heart condemns us. He's bigger. God is bigger than your heart. He is bigger than whatever it is you can come up with that is holding you back. He's bigger. And guess what? He knows what it is already. He already knows. So be encouraged. Let him in. Accept that healing of your heart. Accept the fact that it's going to keep creeping up on you. And when it does, just smile at Jesus. And then you can be bold before God. Go clean the bathroom.